This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab is brought to you by GoNetSpeed, your choice for crazy fast fiber internet. This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And Dennis is Dennis Halnan. He's one of the engineers at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We're happy to have him. And we're happy to have you guys. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We have three lines wide open for you. I did want to bring up something really quick here, though. Cloud-based voice over IP systems. There's a threat actor, they call them, asking for $4.2 million, actual money, probably in fake money. Mm. But they're looking for $4.2 million from VOIP.ms. So that if they don't pay, they're going to continue the DDoS attack, which is a distributed denial of service, exactly as it sounds, on their cloud-based dial tone, right? So what happens when your cloud-based phone system is being hammered by a DDoS, Dennis?
You don't get calls.
No more calls.
Can't make them, can't get them, and you can't get hold of the company that hosts them.
Because they're down.
Because they're down.
Right. 80,000 customers across 125 countries. Nice big fat target, right?
Oh, yeah.
So how might you avoid having your phone system for your law practice, your hospital, or whoever's using this service, how might you mitigate this from occurring to you?
Well, you could...
It's not a trick question.
It's, yeah, you could have your own phone service you're hosting
internally
from your own network.
Right. So, you know, the cloud is a great thing, right? It can be a great thing for things. But when every user on the cloud is impacted, your phone system is now down because you went and put it in the cloud. The way to mitigate this is there are plenty of phone systems you can get that actually sit in your four walls. And the dial tone, the one we offer, is agnostic, right? Mm-hmm. Our phone systems that we install can handle plain old telephone lines. They can handle any kind of T1 style lines, all the old style stuff, and VOIP.
Yeah.
And it's only you in control of it rather than being vulnerable to this type of attack. It's just your phone system. And believe it or not, it's less expensive to own your own phone system than to rent it in the cloud forever.
Yeah.
I talk to people who are paying 10, 20, 30 bucks a month per handset for their cloudy phone system. And if they just did the math times what they're paying per handset, they could buy our phone system three or four times.
Whoa.
over a 5-year period rather than renting it and actually having this potential issue occur to you.
Right.
So I'll put the link up here for you so you can understand. Understanding is all I want you to do. You can do the math. I want you to understand when you put it in the cloud, when the cloud gets impacted, guess who's impacted?
You.
Exactly. And you can't do anything about it. You right. have literally
it's
no
not
recourse.
Your thing.
Right. And versus when you have control over your own destiny with whatever device you have in your four walls. You get all the benefits and features and cool stuff of a VoIP phone system without the vulnerability of having it down in the cloud
right.
when it gets impacted in this way. So, yeah, I'll put the link up here for you. You can read the story yourself. But those guys are looking at $4.2 million ransom if they want to let their phone system work again.
Ouch.
I'm not making it up. Let's go to your calls. They're going to go to John in Higginham first. Morning, John.
Good morning. Good morning, Eric.
What can we do for you?
I have a problem with Dropbox.
Okay.
This past Wednesday morning, I logged on to Dropbox, and it said that this account is disabled.
Oh.
They encouraged me to change my password, and when I try to do that, it says that you have to log on to Dropbox in order to change your password. There's the only option I had to contact them was something called Chatterbox. And I put in my email address and the description of the problem, and I got an email back from them that shows a big flashing red screen that says, "This message seems dangerous."
What?
And, yeah, many people have marked similar messengers as phishing scams. Now, this is from Dropbox support itself.
But wait a minute. So, John, you just tried to use Dropbox. You didn't have an email that came in. First, tried to use the tool.
That is correct. I tried getting into Dropbox.
Right. And so in their case, they're saying, oh, wait a minute, John. We have seen these types of things hit our customers, and then they're tricked into giving credentials out. So it looks like the support folks are assuming your issue started from a phishing scam.
Oh, wow.
Versus it's them. Your Dropbox was disabled, correct? So.
Yeah.
How long have you not logged into Dropbox? Usually after 12 months, they do this.
Oh, wow. I use Dropbox every day.
Oh, all right.
Absolutely every day, which is why I was so surprised. The only thing that I could think of is I have a Malwarebytes VPN.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I log into Dropbox, I have to disable that. And if I don't disable that, I get a message saying that it looks like somebody's trying to log into your account. Is this you? And I kept on answering, yes, it's me, every time I get the message.
Right.
And so now maybe they're thinking, the last couple times I just ignored it, saying, you know, they know who the heck I am. But apparently that's maybe what caused it. But my biggest concern is I can't get in touch with them at all.
Wait, so John, you can't get in touch with the cloud to get access to your stuff?
That is correct.
Surprise, surprise. How much do you pay for that?
$125.32 a year.
So you're paying for this privilege?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I checked on my status. I went back to last November of 2020, and they took my money, and they said they'll renew me in 2021 in November. So I don't know. I'm amazed that there is no way that you can get in touch with them. So.
Well, I'm not. But that's just the nature of the beast. So this is a legitimate business account you're paying for, some sort of paid account. You reached out to their support, and they think this is all stemming from spam, which it's not. They've disabled your account either on purpose or by accident. It has nothing to do with malware bytes, I can tell you that.
Oh, good, good.
Did you have two-factor authentication turned on? Sounds like you did.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Been so long since I paid attention to it. I have an icon, a shortcut on my desktop, and I just click into it, and it takes me right into it.
Yeah, we're doing some research. I know Dennis is feverishly trying to find out what might be the issue.
Well, I'm trying to actually get him a phone number for somebody to call.
Oh, God, that would be great. They did give me a ticket number and all that kind of a thing, and
okay.
They said that your question's been received by our support team. We'll get in touch with you. If with a solution, or if we need more details. In the meantime, have you checked the help center, which I did,
right.
And they say that give us 1 to 2 business days in order to get back to you, and that was I first tried last Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I knew today was going to be a dead because of Saturday, but I just hoped against hope, and then I tuned into you, and I said, hey, I should call Eric.
Yeah, well, so unfortunately, we don't work for Dropbox, but it sounds like a problem on their end. know, they did something to your account or your account has been disabled for whatever reason. Maybe it could have been that someone has been trying to log in as you and they might have protected you, right, by disabling the account, which would be a feature you'd want. You wouldn't want, if I'm guessing John at Higginham's password for Dropbox, I'm trying to get in your system, you'd want them to stop after X number of attempts. So that's a good thing. That could be a good thing. They don't seem to be too sure about why your account's disabled. But there's really not a whole lot we can do for you as far as getting you credentialed for Dropbox to bring it back online. But your story is a great one. It's a good one for people to realize, right? I mean, you've got your data out there. If it's only out there and you need to get something done, well, you're not getting it done.
Yep.
And it depends on how much you need to rely on it.
I figured I'd give you a try.
No, I appreciate that. Dennis might have come up with a number here.
Still looking. Sorry.
So there's no numbers. There's no numbers for you. So you're stuck with your ticket and the way you're communicating with these folks. I'd like to hear what happens. So give us a ring back on next Saturday to let us know what occurred, John. That might be helpful for listeners, too.
You got a deal, Larry.
I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Anytime. Good luck.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye. So that's a great kind of warning, right? You know, be aware that just you placed your stuff out there. If you really need to get something done and the cloud says no, we really have no recourse whatsoever to do anything. So maybe you should consider having a local repository of the data. Then you're going to say to yourself, well, then why am I paying for that cloud repository of the data? I don't know why you are, but that's what you're doing. What do you got, Dennis? Anything?
I haven't been able to come up with anything.
Nothing. Yeah.
I've got a phone number.
Yeah, but you're not sure it's them?
This is on a site. I'm not sure I want to say the URL out loud.
Then let's not give it
out. But I don't think we're going to give it out.
So, all right, we're going to step out for a quick break. Fred, April, and Bill, hang on. One line open for you guys. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back.
Every OS wastes your time from the desktop to the lap. Everything since Apple
does. There you go, Joey. That's a good bump
in. Just a bunch of crap from Microsoft to Microsoft.
We are back. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Then Dr. Alessi will come in with a healthy round. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. Let's go to your calls. You've been nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to Fred and Avon. What's cooking, Fred?
Hello.
Hey.
I think this is a mess. So what happened was...
You think this is a mess? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think this is a mess.
I hear you, man. We agree. IT's a mess. Go ahead.
No, you guys are doing a great job, though.
Thank you.
So I have this Lenovo ThinkPad, and warranty has run out, and it asked me if I wanted to do a BIOS upgrade, and I thought, oh, that's not a bad idea. The thing is like 2 years old, so I hit yes. What I didn't realize was that I was not plugged in at the time, and power ran out.
Oh, no.
You lobotomized it, Fred. It is a mess.
Yeah. Is this something I can fix, or do I now need to bring it in somewhere? Or is there any hope? Did I lose all my data?
Well,
you didn't lose your data. You didn't lose your data.
Oh, no. The data is still sitting on the drive in there. Here's my question. What happens when you power it up with the power plug-in?
Right now, it's just... first time I did it, it had a black screen, it had some words, and now there's nothing.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the BIOS is the actual operating system. It's the understanding the computer has of itself. So it's how the computer understands what it's got for hardware. Everything is all written to that BIOS, and you lobotomized it when the battery died as the update was occurring, which is like, of all the things I'm always nervous about is our BIOS updates. Even with all the power applied, I'm worried about some little blink happening, and then what happens to you happens to you. Your data is fine. It's on the hard drive. But the laptop doesn't know it's a laptop anymore.
Oh.
It could think it's a toaster. It doesn't know what it is. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it looks like Lenovo does have
a recovery?
Bootable BIOS update tool.
To get back?
And yeah, you would install this on a USB drive.
Nice.
And you boot to that drive, and then it might allow you to update
the BIOS.
BIOS, yeah.
As long as the BIOS knows it's a BIOS. It's a little catch 22. Okay. So you might have a way to do it. That's good news.
Yeah, so I need a USB drive.
A USB stick, like a thumb drive. Go out. Do you have like a little thumb drive?
I've seen those at Best Buy, so yeah. So I imagine I can just buy one.
Right. Don't get one that's too big. Sometimes they may not work because they're too large. There might be specific instructions that we can give you. Is that what you're going to find, Dennis?
What I'm looking at is a support page on Lenovo's website.
Yeah.
And it describes the different tools that they have. It has a lot of different options. The one that you're going to go with is the BIOS update bootable CD.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a separate download, which is a README for that.
Mm-hmm.
The README is going to have the instructions on how to do it. So download both of those files.
Yeah.
Yep.
And read the README,
mm-hmm.
Which is named that for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to tell you what to do. We're gonna get that out to you.
Yeah, over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. So do you have another computer, Fred, you can use?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So all hope may not be lost here, which is good.
Yeah.
And once you put the BIOS back on there, you've learned your lesson about BIOS.
Right. And I assume that it should be able to rewrite the BIOS completely
right.
when it boots to its own partition. The problem is, I don't know if anything got damaged. I assume it should work. I'm
right.
just saying there's maybe a small chance that it doesn't.
Right, because the BIOS itself may not know that it's a BIOS itself anymore, the actual chip on there to receive the data.
Right, and it may not accept the write
right.
from the okay. program. Yeah.
So let's hope it does.
Yeah, so I'm going to try this BIOS update, put it on a thumb drive,
yep.
plug it in, and I'll follow the README.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. So worst case scenario, if the BIOS doesn't even take the update, is this something I bring it to a hardware repair place and they what do they do? They take out my hard drive and I'll have to buy a new computer, or is there
possibly
better?
There's possibly Maybe. That case there. So you Maybe. Wouldn't have to take it to anywhere. You can open up the, since if this doesn't work, I think it's probably okay to pronounce it dead at that point.
Yeah.
Take the hard drive out yourself, right? Flip it over, go read the instructions on removing the hard drive, and then get an adapter to adapt the drive to USB itself. And then, yes, you may have to go out and buy a new machine. Plug that external drive now into that new machine, and then you can copy your data back over.
Right.
You don't need to go to a shop for that. It's really not that difficult, and you can't really, frankly, do much more damage than you have. If the drive's pretty safe, taking it out, you know, it's not that fragile. Unless you drop it. Don't drop it, Fred.
Okay. Well, thank you. At least my data is kind of safe. I was always worried about they keep on trying to get me to put all my stuff on the cloud, and I haven't quite done it yet. And what I got on the hard drive is all my email, family photos, and everything. So just trying not to lose it.
So, Fred, have you backed it up?
I did.
Are you married?
Yeah.
Do you want to stay married? You back it up, Fred.
Yeah.
Does she know what happened?
Yeah, she knows what happened. She still has better, more hope than me. She understands computer even less than I do. So she thinks it's good.
Ignorance is bliss. But good for you. But get that thing backed up once you get the machine up, okay?
Right. I'll save my hard drive any way I can.
Yeah, and your marriage.
Yes.
All right, we got to let you go, Fred.
Yeah, thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome. Good luck. BIOS updates, they can be deadly. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Two lines open for you. We'll be right back. And we are back on this lovely Saturday morning. You guys are great for calling in and keeping Dennis and I busy. And we're here to help you guys out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And let's go right to your calls. We're going to go right to April in East Hartford next. And what's going on, April?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm new at these cell phone things, and I'm having a problem.
Mm.
I put a large SD card in the phone when I first got it, and I cannot get the pictures to go to the SD card. They seem to be all saving to the phone instead of the SD card, and now it's telling me I don't have enough storage to take any pictures.
Yeah, it's classic. It's a classic. What kind of phone do you have, April?
It's an A01 Samsung.
A01?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called an A01. It's a D4.
You know what this phone then, huh, Dennis?
I know a little bit about it, sure.
It was free.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Only monthly payments of $70 a month for your cell bill.
No, it wasn't. I didn't have to pay for it because I've been with these people for so long, and I went from a flip phone to this, and I'm trying to. I'm one of those people.
No, that's fine. No.
And I'm just trying to figure it out, and it just keeps going. It seems to be going to the phone. And then it's telling me I don't have any storage, so I can't take any more pictures of butterflies.
Well, what you're going to do is to open up the camera app and get into the settings for it.
Yep.
And you at some point, somewhere in the settings, you should see an option to save to SD card.
I had done that once, and I don't know. That's why I don't understand why it's not doing it. I figured it out. I mean, it takes me forever to figure these things out, but I figured it out once, and it says I put it to save to the SD card only, and that was when I realized that I was also being charged for the cloud, which I refused to use anything on the cloud. So they shut off. I don't want anything on the cloud, so they shut off my cloud. I called them, and they shut off my cloud, and they actually gave me back the money that they'd been charging me for the cloud because there wasn't anything on the cloud.
That they're charging you for space you weren't even using. That's the cloud, man. What a money-making tool.
Yeah, so you have to call them and tell them, because immediately when they start up the phone for you, like they set it up because I don't know how, so the guy at the store, of course, set it up.
Yeah.
And he did everything that he would do apparently for his phone. And when I found out I was paying for the cloud, they actually gave me a credit for
nice.
All that.
Well, that's good. That's what they should do.
Yeah, it was lovely. But now I can't figure out how to save to the
SD card.
I've got I can post an article, or Mike G can.
Yeah.
He'll get that out to you. It is from Samsung's own website, and they tell you how to change that setting.
And so sometimes after you make the change, you could do an iOS update that occurs, and then that setting
can
go
revert.
Away. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're anxious.
So when you do an update, I have to go back and do it again?
You may.
You may.
Because they're going to make money selling you storage in the cloud, right? They don't make any money when you put it on your little SD card. So, it's part of their, commercial approach to data.
Modus operandi, or however they say that.
Yeah, there you go. Modus operandi. So I would think you have something to think about there. You never know where your data is being located, and it could change on you. So go ahead and try these settings, and let's see if it works, and let's see if it holds.
Yeah, because I went to settings, and I couldn't figure out where it was, and I actually downloaded the book for the phone.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in there. There isn't anything in there that's helpful at all. It tells you, like, just the basic. I mean, and it's a lot of paper and ink, but it just doesn't tell you anything, the specifics of how to do anything if you're new to this. You know,
right.
I need an ABC step guide.
I think we've got that for you.
Yeah, okay. I think you're going to be well covered.
Okay, that's excellent. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck, April.
All right, you guys have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It shouldn't be that hard, right?
No, it shouldn't. But
that's what happens.
And yeah, you're right. They revert those settings because they want you to use their service.
Oh, wait a minute. I got 3 terabytes out in the cloud? How'd that happen? I always thought I was using my local drive. Let's go to Bill in Windsor. Hey, Bill.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good, sir. How are you?
Terrific. I have two questions. They're both related to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I have an iPhone X. I purchased it about the time the phone came out, so I've had it for a while. And when I do a battery check on it, it says the battery health is 86%. Of course, of the day, I can drain it down to 20, 20-30%. Most of that time I'm using a Panatronic earpiece, so that probably consumes more battery power per unit of time. But yeah, to replace the battery, it's about $70. So the decision is, if does it make sense to replace that phone with a new battery or just go for a new phone? What is your experience with battery replacement?
Well, battery replacements can work fine if you can
do it. Yes, they can. I'm torn about that because a new phone is going to be several hundred dollars if it's a new iPhone versus 70. So just economically and on simplest level, it's probably worth it to do.
Yeah.
But you are investing money in older technology.
Right. And it's Apple.
And it's Apple.
What happens when technology at Apple gets just slightly old?
They drop support. So here's the thing. You could be spending $70 to put a battery into a phone, and it works great for 3 months, and then they tell you that they're not going to support that model phone anymore.
Right. Or the update for the iOS just breaks
it. Through.
Causes other issues.
Right.
So being how old would you say that phone is, Bill?
Well, it's whenever the X came out. That's, 5-6 years ago now? Somewhere around there.
Yeah. So if it's getting to that age, Dennis is right to caution you. 6 years on an Apple device is nice if you can get that much time. So you might find that you're only going to get a year at the most out of it, or even less. So.
Well, I changed the battery in an older iPhone, and I had very mixed results because the phone would get extremely hot when I would handle it, much more so than would be the normal temperature I would experience handling it.
It doesn't sound like a good battery got put in there.
Yeah. The knockoff batteries might be trouble because if they're third-party manufactured, you could have other issues and like that.
Yes. But Apple put it in, so I would have presumed they put in there. Done in the Apple store.
Okay. Yeah, but it still might just not be a very good battery.
Well, they did have the issue with heat and stuff like that, didn't they? They throttled the phones.
Oh,
remember?
Yes.
So maybe it had to do with that issue way back when.
Yes.
And the second part of the question is: a new iPhone would have the 5G. I'm on a grandfathered plan now, which only has 2 gigabytes a month. I'm only using 1.2, 1.3, and I have carryover on that. The new plan, which is going to cost me more, promises unlimited data, but this is a big difference between 1.3 gigabytes used and unlimited. I don't need it.
Right.
And it's dependent on who you talk to. When you call Verizon, I can't get a good handle on how much the new plan would cost. It appears to be $15, $16 a month more.
Right.
I could stay on the grandfathered plan that I'm on, but I won't have 5G service on it.
You don't need 5G.
And 5G.
That's what I'm saying. I only use phone calls. I don't stream data. I don't stream video. So. Yeah.
Well, 5G hasn't even been deployed everywhere.
Right.
If I were to buy a 5G phone and take it home, I'm not getting 5G there.
Right. And again, you know,
I'm not going to get it for another couple of years at least.
You're not going to need it either, Bill. 5G is really a great technology if you want to have, 1,000 people on the system, but you can still stream whatever you want to stream even on the 4G systems. You don't need the bandwidth. It's all marketing again.
Right.
So 5G is wonderful when our cars are all talking to each other and, we're saving, they're watching each other from being banging into one another. But your phone having 5G is literally useless.
Okay.
You can watch anything in high definition without it now.
Okay.
So I would tell you, it's up to you, Bill. You got to do the math on it a little bit here, but also look at alternative plans. I mean, Consumer Cellular's out there with some really good plans. You can get an unlocked phone that you can use at any carrier, right? And you can use Google Fi. Check that out. That's what I use. My cell phone bill is always about $20 a month. It's a pretty good price, I would think. I don't use a lot of data either. Most of us are on Wi-Fi. There's no reason for me to sit in my car and stream a movie,
Right.
Who does that? Only kids do that. Most adults don't do that.
No, that's something I do. The only time I'm really using it in the car is on a long trip for putting on Waze. But then I plug that into the car, so I'm not even draining battery.
Okay. Right. Well, and Waze does not use much data either.
No. Okay. No.
So it's kind of, you got to weigh it yourself there, Bill.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. I agree in the sense of putting that much money into something that some other issue may go wrong with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the worry.
Okay. Thank you very much for help this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you for calling, Bill. All right.
Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. I think we got to step out, right, Joey? Taking a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. Chris in Weathersfield. Hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
Healthy Rounds with Dr. Anthony Alessi. This morning, 11 till noon on WTIC News Talk 1080 and WTIC.com.
And we are back. Yes, Dr. Alessi is up next, giving you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. And we are here till 11 o'clock. And Dennis and I, this is Computer Talk with Tab. We are live. And we're going to go to Chris. We're alive until Joey record those games. Oh, no, we're going to be here for a lot more Saturdays going. We shouldn't have any breaks coming up for any time going forward. Let's go to Chris in Weathersfield next. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hi. Just this week, my ears picked up on the talk of the USB-C cables.
Yeah.
You know, for the phone plugs, regulation.
Right.
You know, recognizing perhaps standardization makes good architectural sense. Can mm-hmm. you tell me what you guys think?
Well, this is actually something that I was thinking about bringing up on the show.
Right.
It's a ruling that the EU has just issued or will issue. I'm not sure how far along it is, but it seems to be inevitable that USB-C is going to be the interface that has to be used on smartphones that are sold in Europe.
Right.
Now, what I think is that I understand that Apple wants to have their own interface for their own reasons and their own profits.
Right.
But what I was just telling Eric is that there is a benefit to participating in a standard.
Of course.
And the thing that came to mind for me was the IBM PC, the original IBM PC that came out 40 years ago. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what made that take off as far as a marketable computer is that the different interfaces to it were all either open standards or they were just cheaply licensed.
Mm-hmm.
So that anybody anywhere could manufacture parts and cables or whatever that would fit into it.
Yeah.
The ISA expansion slot standard was open. The serial transmission protocol was open.
Mm-hmm.
The pinouts, even on things like the video cables, were all open standards. Anybody could make a monitor that would fit that, or a device that would plug in, or an expansion card that could go into that computer. And mm-hmm. what happened?
Mm.
That's exactly what happened. Everybody was making stuff for these things,
yep.
and it took off.
Right.
Now,
but that wasn't government mandated. Was the industry.
That was what IBM chose to do with the thing when they made it.
Correct. Apple works now, differently. They have their own ecosphere.
Right. They have their own ecosphere. They worry about their own stuff. They want to sell their own stuff to their own standards.
At a ridiculous cost.
At very high cost. And it makes them a lot of money.
Yeah.
But if you've never heard of it, there is something, a principle of economics and mathematics called the Nash equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, as a business or even a decision maker in anything that mathematics calls a game, which is a contested market mm-hmm. of any sort,
yeah.
sometimes it's to your benefit to actually help the whole system get better and bigger.
Right.
And then your long-term profits as a part of that system end up being higher.
Sure. Yeah.
And the Nash equilibrium has been proven.
Yes.
It there are economic models built on it. It plays out every day all across the world.
Right, but
it is a real thing. Now,
the EU is a government body.
Well,
doesn't know his Nash from its elbow.
I'm not a fan of government bodies telling everybody what to do with their stuff. But what I'm just getting at, I think Apple may be a little bit short-sighted as to what they can get out of this.
They are upset.
And they are upset.
Yeah.
And the long shot of it is, according to the article that I've got, is that they may go with a portless phone that doesn't have anything that you plug into it.
Right. No cable for you.
It interconnects with other devices wirelessly, and it even gets power wirelessly.
Right. So then there's the unintended consequence of these guys saying it must be a USB-C. Well, they say, I'm not going to do anything.
And then
we're Apple. We do what we want. So that's so. That's what we think, Chris. We appreciate the call.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. Running out of time today. You know, I don't know. Telling government telling a business like that, I don't know. I have a hard time with it. We don't have time to talk about it more. But we're going to be here. Everything we've talked about has been posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com by Mike G. And everything is also on our Facebook page. If you like us over at Tab Computer Systems, everything will get into your news feed if Zuckerberg deems it worthy. And I want to thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Joey for producing. Appreciate that very much. And feel free to stick around. Dr. Lessie's up next with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. Anything you want to say, Dennis?
I wanted to say, remember, there is no cloud. It's just someone else's computer.
See you next Saturday.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand-new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.